God bless everyone. Wow. 2015 is coming up. And this year has just flown by so fast. And it's like amazing. You know, I was just saying last week how we were just singing these Christmas songs a couple days ago, it seemed like. And now we're singing them again. God is doing a work here. He's doing a work in us. He's preparing a bride. You know, we don't need a crowd. We need disciples. Amen. There are those who will compromise for the crowd, but we've got to speak the truth in love because we want disciples. We want followers of Jesus. Amen. We're going to teach the true Jesus here. We are living in a time where the enemy is throwing everything he can at us, everything he can to try to pull people away from fellowship. This morning, I'm going to, again, put a focus on the importance of fellowship. Call it church attendance. We know that we are the body of Christ. We are the church, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But God's heart is for his church. God's eye is upon his church. Amen? And we're not talking about the steeple. We're talking about the people, right? Yeah. Under the steeple. But this is a place where we gather, and we need to understand God's ways. There are a lot of voices and a lot of things being tossed around in the body of Christ today, which are demonic teachings of demons, really. The devil does not want you and I to come together. He's going to do everything he can to keep you out of church, away from fellowshipping. Or to reduce the amount of fellowship that we have, to minimize it. Because he knows that if we are united under the authority of Almighty God, and we have like mind, like vision, like focus, that we are a powerful force together. So he's always looking for ways to divide and to separate and to give all kinds of excuses and reasons why you don't really need to be there. And one of the biggest reasons is he's trying to is to say that, well, there's nothing in it for you. There certainly is. But if that is my motivation, my sole motivation for coming, if it's all about me, then I'm coming for the wrong reason anyways. And it should expose to me and say, well, there's something wrong with my heart, something wrong with me, if I'm just in it for what I can get out of it. And if there's nothing I'm going to get out of it, I don't want anything to do with it. Are you hearing me? That's total selfishness. And that is opposite of what Christ taught us. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. We are to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and to say the same thing. I didn't come here to be served today. I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many, to give my life for you. Are you hearing me? We are to be in a place where we are willing to give our lives to one another, to pour in to one another. Amen? To follow the example of Jesus. And so we've got to get over ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. We have to crucify ourselves in order to walk in the purpose of God and in the power of God. You hear it said a lot, but we cannot be full of Jesus if we're full of self. I want to be full of Jesus. And the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. That means someone who's willing to submit themselves to him, to lay their life down and say, God, it's no longer I, it's we. And I want to take a look at some scriptures today. If you would, we're going to start out with Haggai, chapter 1. And I'm going to read the 2nd through the 5th verse to start out with. But the title of today's message is The vision of God's church. The vision of God's church. Thus speaks the Lord, verse 2 of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What was happening is they had come out of Babylonian exile. They had been in slavery and bondage, and they had been brought out and brought back to Jerusalem, and the temple had laid in ruins, and God had called prophets to call the people to the task of rebuilding the temple that had been fallen. And they had begun the work, but at this point, the work had laid dormant for 10 years. They hadn't done anything. They began to do the work, but then they lost focus, and the work began to lay dormant, and no one was doing anything anymore. And everyone was kind of running off to do their own business. They were preoccupied with just their own homes, their own kingdoms, their own will, and they had neglected the temple that lay in ruins. In other words, the people had prioritized their life above God's will. I'm going to say it again. They had prioritized their life above God's will. God's will was for them to restore the temple that had fallen. And he raised up this prophet to speak to them, and he told them to consider your ways. And because of their lackadaisical attitude, everything that they attempted to do seemed to fall apart. It was in vain. It was as if they were spinning their wheels and getting nowhere. And in verse 6, he says, you have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. In other words, they were never truly satisfied with the things that they had involved themselves with or occupied themselves with. There was no satisfaction in their lives. Even though, listen, he says, you have sown and you bring in little. They had food to eat. He says, you eat, but you don't have enough. You drink. They had drink. But you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves. They had clothes, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. That's where that comes from. Have you heard that statement, right? Putting into a bag with holes? How many know that the way of self-will never satisfies us? God is trying to get our attention here. He's trying to bring us to a place where we are done with ourselves. We are over ourselves. We're over our will, our agenda, building our homes, our kingdom, doing everything for self. You know, God says, I will take care of those things if you take care of my things. Matthew 6:33. If you seek the kingdom of God above everything else, see, this is the thing, is we're not really seeking the kingdom of God above everything else. We're seeking our own welfare above everything else, and we're kind of adding God to the picture. You understand? You can't just add God to the picture. God has to be number one in your life. He has to be first in all things. We are to honor and glorify the Lord. We are to give unto the Lord, amen, our lives, and say, Lord, it's my reasonable service. You died for me. You were broken for me. You shed your blood so I could receive forgiveness. I could escape a devil's hell and I could be your child. And now, based upon everything you've done for me, it's my reasonable service to give you my life now. I mean, give it all to you and to live for you only. And in picture and type, we see here that the folks had begun well, but somehow they got discouraged, somehow because of opposition, very possibly. They got scared, or they said, I don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't want to fight anymore. It's easier just to kind of lay back and be passive than it is to be in the fray of the battle. How many have started well, done well? They were in the fray of the battle. They were diligent. They were on fire for God. They were serving Jesus. They couldn't get enough of Him. Couldn't get enough of the Word. Couldn't get enough of church fellowship with God's people. And now today it's kind of like, oh, whatever. Something has happened. Something has changed. We've lost focus. We've been swiped by the enemy. Are you hearing me? His purpose is to divide and to conquer. His purpose is to draw us away from fellowship with one another. They had to come together in order to build the temple. They had to work together side by side. They had to understand that they were part of something much larger than they were as individuals. And everything that God called Israel to do, He called them corporately to. He called His people to be a kingdom of priests, to be a holy nation, to represent Him corporately as a people and not as a bunch of individuals, islands that are just off doing their own thing. Are you hearing me? When we were saved and we were placed into the body of Christ. And it's no longer a me thing, it's a we thing. Sometimes, you know, many times we build our lives around ourselves without realizing it. God said in verse 8, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. They were to cut the trees. They were to do the work. They were to go and they were to get the wood. And you know that when they went to get the wood, they realized that I'm cutting this tree not to build my own kingdom here, amen, but I am doing this as part of God's army, amen, God's people, to build the temple of God. Now we know the temple on the earth made, amen, with stone is a type of the church of Jesus Christ. You and I are the living stones that make up that temple. And they had to bring the stones. And the stones were not to be cut on location. But they were cut in a quarry off location. And they were brought to the temple and perfectly fitted. Or knitted together. You see, if we try to build the house of God with human wisdom or human ability, we fail miserably. How many know it can't be by our methods? It must be by the will of God that we build. And we need to know the heart and the mind of God so that we can learn how to build and work together for the temple of God. What is the temple of God? It is His church, amen, that He is building when through people like you and I, lively stones that are fashioned by God and brought together, and every part of us, every member of His church has a place where you perfectly fit into the body of Christ. And if we're not together, folks, we're not doing what God called us to do. Folks, we got to get beyond our opinions about things and we got to say, God, what do you want for me? What is your will for me? What is your purpose for me? Not my life first, my stuff first, my paneled ceilings first. Are you hearing me? My house, my this, my business, my money, my whatever. It's God, you first, and everything else will fall into place. You know, that's why they weren't satisfied. They had the stuff, but the stuff never satisfied them. Why? Because they were not in the will or the purpose of God. You're only going to find satisfaction in the will of God. Satisfaction in doing what God has designed for you to do, be in the place where God has designed you to be, and working together to build the kingdom of God, for we were spared, amen, out of this world and out of the devil's hell to be a member of the body of Christ, to work together to advance his kingdom, to destroy the works of the devil, amen, and to build. God has called every one of us here to be a part of the building up. Every one of us is called to the building up of the body of Christ. You are a part of this. You have a place where you fit. And folks, I'm not talking about everything revolving around what's going on in this building. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about our purpose in God's body. Amen? We are a church without walls. But the body was designed to function together. And behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When we are perfectly knitted and fitted together in the place of God's assignment, functioning in the will of God as we have been designed to do so, then we will see the advancement of God's kingdom, the building up of God's kingdom, his church in the earth. This is what God is focusing on, folks. This is the apple of God's eye. You are the apple of God's eye. He's got his eye on you, his church, his people. He's got his eye on us, and he wants us to work and walk together and to build together. Amen. And Jesus said it this way, whoever does not gather with me will scatter abroad. If you're not gathering, you'll end up scattering. It's the people who don't gather who scatter in the body of Christ. Amen. He said in verse 4, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Am I building God's kingdom? Why do I even gather with God's people? Is it just for my own personal edification? Is it just to have my needs met? Or is it for something greater than myself? Let's take a look at the life of Jesus. He's our example. Folks, you don't hear Jesus coming to the Father and say, God, give me this, God, give me that, God, give me this, God, give me that. He was always praying for the Father's will. It wasn't all about his needs, folks. It was about the will of the Father. And he knew that he needed the Father's guidance. That's what we should be praying for. Lord, I need vision. I need sight. I need direction. I need to know what you're doing and where you're leading me here. Lord, I want to do your will. That's why I'm here, to do your will. It's not about having all the stuff and praying for my needs and this comfort and that comfort. It's about the will of God. And if we will focus on the will of God, he's going to take care of the need parts. It's a promise. That's why they had their needs taken care of, but they were dissatisfied in that because they were not about the Father's will. When you're in the will of God, then you can enjoy even the fruit of your labor. Are you hearing me? There's so many that, especially during this time, you know, everybody's doing the commercial thing and buy-in and whatever, and just getting into the get the stuff and get the presents, and it's all about getting usually, you know? What am I going to get this year? And what did Jesus do? How did he live? What example did he set for us? He didn't come to take. He came to give. He came to serve. He came to bless. He came to heal. He came to set captives free. You know, we're called to do the same thing. To love. To love one another. To serve one another. To bless one another. How can I build up you? How can I build you? When I build you, I'm doing myself a favor too. Why? Because we're connected. We're part of the same building. When you are blessed, I'm blessed. Don't get jealous when somebody else gets blessed. Amen? Rejoice, because if they're blessed, that means you're blessed too. Amen? What can I do for you, Jesus? The word for church in the Greek is ekklesia. It means a calling out. Congregation, a community, or assembly. In other words, God has called you and I out of the evil system of this world, to live apart from it, to no longer indulge in the things that grieve God, sin. We have been called out, amen, rescued from the power of sin by the blood of Jesus, amen, and the Holy Spirit, to be a separate people, to be His bride, His temple, amen, lively stones that make up the building of God as what? A habitation of God in the Spirit. We are a corporate temple together. And when we are united and working and walking together, when we are here about the kingdom and not about my own kingdom, then as we come together corporately with God's vision in sight, then we will advance the kingdom. Then we will build the kingdom. Then we will see lives changed. Amen. Then we will see people healed and saved and delivered for Jesus. God is calling every one of us, folks, out of it, out of Babylon, out of the world, out of this system that captivates us and draws us in to vain pursuits and things. Come on, there are so many distractions, so many things that have nothing to do with God and the kingdom of God. Amen? They have everything to do with this world that is temporary, that is passing away. And God has not called us, folks, to Disneyland. He's called us into warfare because souls are dying and going to hell. People are being destroyed by the devil because he's got them in his grips. And God calls you and I out of that world, out of that life, out of darkness, amen, separates us, gives us His Holy Spirit, and says, now I'm sending you to go in and plunder hell and populate heaven. Amen. And it takes you and I coming together, praying together, amen, seeking God together, ministering one to another, building up one another, encouraging one another, amen? And don't give up on each other. Amen? Stay on them. Stay on them. There's times when I want to throw my hands up and say, well, they're just out of the picture. Well, I just stay on them and stay on them and stay on them because God is able. Amen? In the time of His choosing, through the seed that you plant and through the prayers that you offer for them to bring that, turn that thing around. Folks, we are seeing an onslaught against the body of Christ like never before. All hell has been unleashed on the body of Christ. And the devil's doing everything he can to separate you and I from being together just like we are today. Is church important? Folks, this is a priority. Why? Because it's God's stuff. It's God's will. It's God's desire. It's God's focus. God is looking at His church. God is preparing a bride for His Son, Jesus. Amen? And we, as that bride, are to be in preparation. We are saving ourselves for Him. We are waiting for our bridegroom. We are keeping ourselves unspotted from this world. We are coming together to use the gifts and the abilities that God has given us to edify, to build, to hone one another, and to make His church a glorious church without spot or blemish, because the Lord is coming for a pure virgin, a bride that has prepared herself. He's not coming for a worldly church. The worldly church will not be in that calling away or the rapture, if you will. The worldly church will be left behind. Amen. You know, the Bible says, I think it's Jeremiah 54, that cursed is the man who uses the word of God deceitfully. The man who will use the word of God to tickle ears and to make people feel good. Are you hearing me? We tell the truth because we love. When Jesus spoke to Peter, he says, "You're Peter, Petros, little rock." He was a lively stone, amen? He says, "And on this rock, Petra," what's that? The confession of Jesus Christ, amen, as being the Son of the living God. He says, "I will build my church." Ecclesia, there's that word. "And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The councils of hell have come together to try to destroy God's building. You and I are that building. The councils of hell have been directed against us to try to split us up, to ruin us, amen, to ruin our fellowship and the love that we have between us. We cannot afford to allow the devil any room, amen, in our lives. We cannot allow that devil to pull us apart and to lie to us and to seduce us away with the love of this world and the cares of this life that are temporary. We need to understand there is nothing more important than that we live our lives for the one who gave himself for us at the cross. We need to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Salvation, healing, deliverance, sanctification, holiness, worship gatherings, Bible studies, fellowship meetings, evangelism. Everything we do should be the purpose for building up the corporate body of Christ, the habitation of God, His church. It's no longer about me anymore. Romans 12:3 says, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. And just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." In other words, be about the Father's business of building up the body of Christ, which is His church. And in order for us to do these things that are mentioned, we have to be together, folks. We need to understand, folks, that that devil does not quit. He does not give up easily, and he's constantly going to try to seduce you deeper and deeper into his lie, to turn away from the things of the kingdom and start to live for this kingdom, the kingdom of this world again. And that's what happened in the people to the people of Haggai's day. They began well. They began to build. They were all encouraged, and somehow along the way they got discouraged. And they allowed defeat to come in, and the work of the Lord had laid dormant. The temple had laid there. Nothing, no stone had been moved for years. And God raised up Haggai, this prophet, to go in and say, "Consider your ways. Pay attention to what's been happening to you. Do you understand that this is the apple of my eye? This is my will. This is my work that I'm calling you to. Why are you running off to your own homes, doing your own business, putting yourself ahead of everything else, and this temple of mine to lie here in ruins?" In other words, how does that spell out today? It means that you and I are to be about building up the temple of God in this world. Amen. We're not to be preoccupied with just living for ourselves, but it's about Jesus. It's about what He's done. It's about God's will. It's about God's will being done. It's no longer about my will. It's what He wants. Whenever I get focused on myself, folks, whenever I become self-centered, I don't care about anybody else. And if we allow the devil to put us in that place corporately, guess what happens? Church dies. You see, what most people don't realize is that there are demonic powers that are actually seducing people into just stuff that is empty and vain. It may not even be a sin, but it becomes a weight. It becomes an idol, or it becomes something that just sucks you in to a vain way of life that has nothing to do with eternity or the kingdom of God. Come on. The devil has used the television set for an example very effectively. Very effectively to seduce us into paying attention to stuff and to following fantasy and things that have nothing to do with what God has actually called us to do. So we can sit and watch the television for hours and spend no time or little time in the Word of God or in prayer or the things that we've been called to do as a body. And so the world is going to hell while the church sits in front of a television set and preoccupies itself with something that is vain, that will have no bearing on eternity. Amen. Folks, I'm not saying that you can't watch television. What I'm saying is we've got to be very careful to guard ourselves, because that thing is so seductive. Yes. And the devil has deliberately placed that in many rooms and living rooms. Why? Because he knows that through that venue, he can get into people's lives, get into their hearts, get into their minds. I believe that many people are becoming demon-possessed simply by watching television, because they're opening the door, they're opening the gate to all kinds of filth. Amen. We have more people that are possessed and oppressed by the devil today than ever in history. We have mental illnesses at an all-time high. It has just gone completely crazy. As a society, folks, we've gone crazy. You want to know why? It's because the devil has done it. The devil's in that. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. God wants to heal the mentally ill. God wants to deliver the captives. But we cannot serve two masters, folks. We need to decide who we're going to be with. What am I going to live for? I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to live for this world. Am I going to subject myself to the filth or the vanity of just spending my time in front of a television set? Or am I going to preoccupy myself with what God wants to do in my life, knowing that here we have no continuing city, knowing that I'm only here for a short time? My life is just a vapor. Before you know it, it could be over. Do you realize today, folks, that it could be the last day that we're on this planet? What have we done with our lives? Have we lived out the will of God in our lives? Are we going to have confidence before Jesus and have him say, well done, you've been about my business, you've been about building my kingdom? Or is it going to be all about myself and my life and my comfort and me, my? Folks, we've got to get the heart of Jesus. We've got to get back to the altar and say, God, take me down, whatever you got to do, but break me, Lord, and make me new. I don't want to be the old man. I don't want to live according to that life anymore. I want to walk in the new life. I want to walk in the glory, amen, of God. I want to live in his presence. I want to be about building and advancing the kingdom of God. Whether you like it or not, you and I are in a battle. Right. We were born into a battle. You cannot quit. You cannot turn your back on the devil. He'll stab you in the back. You are in a battle, and you need to understand that you will be defeated unless you know how to put on the armor of God. Unless you know how to say no to sin, you're going to be defeated by the devil. Unless you need to say no to that devil that says, stay away from fellowship, stay away from Christians, just shut yourself in to your little room and to your little bubble and live in that world, because that's all I want to do is keep you away from the body of Christ. Where's the awe? Where's the wonder? Where's the excitement? Where's the joy? Where's the anticipation? Where's the expectation of what is God going to do today? Oh, God, this is a new day. You gave me my life. You gave me back my life. Amen. You redeemed me. Amen. I'm one of yours now, and you have a purpose for me. It's eternal. It's glorious. And in the end, I'm going to see you, and you're going to be smiling and say, I know who you are. Well done, my good and faithful servant. What can I do for you now? How can I live for you now? God is saying to every one of us here, commit yourself. commit yourself to the work of God. Come on, let's be about this body. Amen. Let's be about building one another and looking for the lost souls, the lost sheep that are out there, bringing them in and making disciples. Bring the wood that I can build my house. That's what God is paying attention to, folks. His heart is on His church. His eye is on His church. That's His focus. This is what we're doing today, folks, is very important. It's not a leftover thing. It's not a if I feel like it thing. I'm called to this. This is the will of God, that I be in fellowship, that I be in the body of Christ, and that wherever I find myself, when I'm alone, amen, I'm still a member of the body of Christ, and when I'm alone, I need to take care of this temple. I need to keep myself pure because I'm a member of something bigger than myself, and I don't want to allow myself, amen, to defile God's temple because I've opened the door to the devil. Are you hearing me? We've got to turn away from sin because sin will destroy you. You cannot dabble with sin. It will always win. In the Old Testament, the temple was a type of the church, right? The body of Christ. And the people of Israel did not serve the Lord individually. But the temple, you look it up in Scripture, or even the tabernacle in the wilderness, was in the center or the heart of the camp. Everything revolved around God's presence. Everything, amen, was centered on the temple or the tabernacle in the wilderness, which was the temporary, amen, the mobile temple. Everything was centered on that. Today, our lives should be centered on the body of Christ. This is my commandment. That you love one another. That you edify one another. You build up one another. That you pray for one another. That you forgive one another. That you encourage each other to love and good works. I'm trying to encourage you today to understand that if your life is going to matter, if it's going to be a blessed and a glorious life with a glorious ending, you're going to have to say no to self and to this world, and you're going to have to fully give your life to Jesus Christ. Fully give your life to the work of God, and that is the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. We have been called out. You see, what's happened is God has called us out, but we've gone back. God called Israel out, but they kept going back. And when we go back, the next thing that happens is we begin to forget about the work of God. We get preoccupied with our own little kingdoms and our own little lives and our own little problems and everything going around us. All about me now, you know. And then we forget and neglect the work of God, which is the most important thing. And folks, if you want to have fulfillment, if you want to have satisfaction, if you really want to be fulfilled, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I mean, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Get on fire for God, amen. Get back into fellowship. Come here, be prayed up, amen. Encourage your brother, your sister. Let's build, amen, and not tear down. We got people that come in here and they bellyache and they complain about little spilled milk things and this thing and that thing, and they're actually tearing things down. God didn't call us to that. God has called us to build. He didn't call us to be critical, amen? He called us to build. We have a beautiful fellowship. We have a wonderful fellowship. We have a fellowship that, you know, I would encourage people to come to. I would be okay inviting people to this church. I can't always say that in places I've been before. But we have something here that God has been developing. God has been honing us. He's been chiseling us. He's been forming us because He has a place for you in the body. Amen? Where you're going to be effective. Where you're going to bear fruit. Where you're going to glorify the Lord. And when we're all in our place, doing what we're called to do, amen, then there is an explosion of God's glory and grace in the earth. God wants his church to be united, to come together, to be, amen, to have the same vision, the same direction. God's calling us to go to the mountain and bring wood. God's telling us to go out and find those people that you work with or you associate with or you meet. Amen. And invite them to come to Jesus. Amen. Invite them to come to church. Bring them to this place. It's not about the building. It is about the body of Christ. And if they come here, they're going to always do better than if they don't. I say this so often, but people who are faithful and consistent to be in church always do better. Yes. Hands down, they always do better. They have victory. Why? Because they're receiving the nourishment of the body of Christ. Yes. Yeah. And they're also going to find themselves to be a blessing to the body of Christ themselves. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Amen. I'm almost done. Did I say that already? I'll finish with this. Exodus 19:6. The Lord said to Israel, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." This is what God told Moses to say to them. You shall be what? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the nation. Folks, you and I today are a kingdom of priests. Did you know you're a priest? Are you living in your priestly office? Are you operating in that? Are you interceding? Are you praying? Do you know you're also a king? A little k? We are kings and priests unto God. What does that mean? That means that you have authority to rule, to reign over a certain dominion that God will give you. Are you operating in your kingly anointing? Are you taking authority over those things in your life that the enemy is trying to throw on you, to destroy you, to bring you down? Come on, we need to take authority over this body, first of all, amen, and make it obey, and make it obey the Spirit of God and say, no, I'm not going to allow this body to go anywhere. I'm not going to allow these eyes to look upon anything or these ears to hear anything that God does not want me to look on or listen to. Because I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what I do in private does affect others. When a church is pure, and we're a pure bride, we're a pure people, and we're living clean, amen, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we come together, it's glorious. It's glorious. If a church is allowed to go into compromise and into sin, and to live a double-minded life, that means we're one way on church and a different way on Monday. If we're living as hypocrites and we come together, it's not a pretty sight, is it? But God has called us to be holy as he is holy. He's called us to be pure and to keep ourselves unspotted from this evil world system that is constantly trying to get our attention. It's screaming all the time for attention. The devil's always saying, hey, over here, over here. We need to resist him steadfastly in the faith. I'm not going to bow down to that God. Amen. I'm not bowing down to any other God. We are the temple. As a member of God's church, as a member of this temple, I have to keep myself clean. Amen. And I don't only do it for me, but I do it for you. That's why Paul had to give instructions. He says, brother, if there's any among you, even among your brethren, who are fornicators, you know, or idolaters or covetous, know not to even eat with them, he said. You need to protect yourself even from brothers and sisters if they're not living right. Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming. And he's coming, once again, for a bride. And this bride is going to be holy. This bride is going to be pure. She's going to be ready. She's a person that is looking for his coming. Why? Because there's nothing in this world that she wants. She's already died to the world. She's already through with the world. The world has nothing for her. She is looking for the coming of Jesus. Why? Because her life has been for her master. Her life has been lived for him. Now she's anticipating and looking forward with expectation, with great joy of the day when the bridegroom's going to come. Why? Because she's already living her life for him. But if we're living our lives for ourselves, then that thought of Jesus coming might bring terror to your heart. Would you bow your heads this morning? Are you willing to obey God in this? Are you willing to commit yourself to Jesus this coming year? I mean, to just dive in completely, just give yourself over now to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I don't want to live for my life anymore. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I want to live for you. Lord, I want to totally live for you. Lord, I want to be about building. I want to be about gathering, not scattering. Lord, I want to be involved in what you're doing, and I want to be together with your people as often as I can. And Lord, I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for my apathy. Forgive me for my complacency. Forgive me for my bad attitude. Forgive me for my worldliness, Lord. Deliver me from the power of the world and the power of Babylon. Lord, set me free from every attachment, every demonic attachment. Lord, I ask you to set me free from it in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to commit my life to you. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my days. I want to give you my future. I want to completely run this race, Lord, to the end. I'm looking for you, Lord. I want to see you in that day smile and say, well done. That's what I want to do, Lord. I want to live for you. Because you're never going to find satisfaction in this world. You may eat, but you're not going to be full. You may drink, but you're never satisfied. And even the money and the resources that God entrusts to us, they belong to God too. And we are to honor God with that. If we put his stuff first, if he's truly first, if it's about the kingdom, then he'll take care of the rest of that. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress about what am I going to do? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom above everything else. And all these things shall be added unto you. You'll have peace. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. But when you're in the will of God, there's peace. To know it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. God's going to take care of you. He promised to. Don't worry. Don't fear. Only seek the Lord. Because the Lord will keep you in his perfect peace. As you keep your mind upon him. And as you give yourself, I want to ask you out of honesty today, please don't stand off if this is not something that you're willing to commit yourself to. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I've heard you. I know God is speaking to me. God is telling me not to no longer dabble with Christianity, but to completely give myself to him. If that's you, I want you to stand up. Lord God, we have little strength. We have little strength. Without you, Lord, we can't do it. Apart from you, we can do zero. Zero. But we know, God, through Christ, we can do all things because you're our strength. And Lord, today I'm asking for a fresh baptism with your Holy Spirit. As we stand today, God, realizing that we're weak, we've been distracted. Lord God, we've been seduced by the world. We've had other gods and other lovers and other things that we prioritize above you and your kingdom. Today, God, we're asking you to set us free from all that stuff. And Lord, change my heart. Lord, I'm asking you today to fill me with your fire. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let your fire fall on me. Burn up everything that is not of you. Empower me. Motivate my heart. Inspire my zeal. Set me on fire for you to run this race to the finish. Set me ablaze for you, Jesus. I receive. Hallelujah. Light up the night. Light up the night. Let's come together. Let's work together this year. Amen. Let's build. Let's build, build, build. Build the kingdom. Hallelujah. As we commit ourselves to this work, you're going to see the hand of God move, and we're going to rejoice as we see souls come to Jesus, as we see captives set free, as we see the sick healed, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk. Hallelujah. For the glory of God, for the glory of your name, Lord, we ask these things. Hallelujah. God bless and keep each one of you.